tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads from over 200 countries and your number one source in after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, AfterBuzzers, and welcome to the AfterBuzz TV show for the Real Housewives of New Jersey. Tonight there is no episode. Instead, it's a special edition episode here, an AfterBuzz TV exclusive. We have coming up on the phone an interview with Jim Marchese, Real Housewife of New Jersey's Amber's husband, and we have a lot of questions. I mean, Jim has quite a Twitter presence. A lot of people seem to have a strong opinion either way about Jim. So, you know, I have a lot of questions for him. It's going to be an exciting, quick episode here. What do you think?
Well, it's been a crazy weekend. It's Labor Day. Everybody's been out at the beach and barbecues and partying, and now we're back to reality, back to New Jersey. Right. So I'm excited. Right. He does have that really strong Twitter presence, and a lot's been going on Twitter with him. So I'm excited to see what he has to say and his side of the story of everything going on.
You've been following him kind of closely. You see that he really engages. A lot of his retweets are interesting. A lot of his retweets kind of give him more of like an insider perspective as to kind of what's currently going on. One of his recent retweets was someone mentioned that the show has more drama on behind the scenes than in front of the camera. So I'm hoping we can get some information this way.
Yeah, just a few hours ago, I believe that that was his latest tweet. So I wonder.
Right. Well, I've set this up, and it seems like we really don't have too many places we can't go. So it looks like that there's going to be a lot of information back and forth. I've had some questions that's top of my mind. And what about you? I know you really want to get more. You want to get to the bottom of this Bobby situation. You've really mentioned this for a few weeks now.
Yeah, I think it seems like they're still not friends. That maybe that's going to be a forever permanent thing.
Right.
That this rift was a little deep.
Right.
So after the first responders party that both of them were upset enough that this has stuck, that they're still not friends. And I think we've seen a few things on Twitter to cement that.
Right.
So,
what was a recent tweet? Actually, let's go to the phone. Jim, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How you doing tonight, Grant?
Good, good. How are you? Welcome to AfterBuzz. Welcome to the show. We appreciate you calling in on this Labor Day.
Well, I thank you for giving me the opportunity, and I wanted to say hello to Megan as she was my first contact on Twitter. How are you doing, my lady?
Hi, Jim. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, it's my pleasure. My pleasure. So what can I do for you this evening?
So let's get into some of these questions. You know, we just want to kind of talk a little bit about the show to start. You know, I assume you're fairly new to reality TV. Is this your first appearance?
This is my first. Amber actually appeared on Restaurant Stakeout, and so she'd been on prior to, but this is my first exposure to the wonderful world of reality TV.
Right. Now, how did this come up? Like, how many months prior to production were you contacted, or did the cameras just, you know, show up at that party with those twins? How did it all kind of come up?
Well, Amber was contacted in February, and they didn't really tell us the name of the show at the time or any of the details, and we ended up coming on board. I think it was March, April of that year of 2013, and you know, it was exciting for her, a real nice opportunity. For me, my role was going to be very limited, just, you know, around my children and around my wife and to help out my friend at the time, Bobby. And I'm told by, you know, the whole production crew that they needed to have a way of bringing all the cast together, and they asked me to have a party at my home. So we had a fall harvest party, and that was how the groups morphed into one, and everyone met at our house. So kind of an interesting thing. Never threw a party like that before, but it was fun.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you feel about your portrayal on the show? We're only a few weeks in. They've had a lot of words around you, both like on Twitter and people's opinions. And you know, I feel like we've seen kind of only one side of you so far. I mean, again, they say these shows are just such a small glimpse into the real world. So, what do you think, just seeing your little bit?
You know, I'd really like to thank all the producers. They portrayed me as such a kind, sweet, loving, gentle person. I'm sure everyone has seen just the sweetest side of me, and they've seen me in the best positions, such as my Christmas and New Year's and Valentine's Day and all the sweet things we do as a family. In all seriousness, it's been pretty ridiculous, actually. I've watched... we filmed starting in late November, early December, all the way through February, and I've just basically seen the choice snippets that they've used throughout the six scenes. And it's been a little difficult to watch, honestly, because I know what really transpired in those situations, and I'm very fully aware of what was going on and what didn't go on and what the backdrop was, and I understand what they're doing, and I'm going to be the villain this year, and I'm okay with that. I just wish the people watching the show would understand that that's my job. I'm the villain this year, and it doesn't mean that I'm really an evil person and that they could give me a little bit of a break. I'm just trying to have a little fun and trying to keep them entertained.
Right. Now, a lot of housewives, specifically in the past on these shows, have said that they feel like they fell victim to editing, while others say that it was no editing, that they felt that that was really a realistic portrayal of their snippet of life. So where did you fall on that? I assume it will be the latter, but what do you think?
You know, honestly, I would never put myself in these situations. So you have to understand, if I'm aware that, you know, Nicole is upset with my wife and Bobby's inviting me over, and I'd spoken to Bobby about 3 hours before the party, and he assured me nothing was going to happen, and he assured me that everybody was in good spirits. If I had an inkling that there was going to be an issue, we wouldn't have shown up. So I'm not going to say I blame editing. I don't blame editing. What I can tell you is they had to compress a lot of activity into a very short time period, and they... meaning the producers don't have the ability to show you all of the backdrop, all of what occurred. And so, it's really hard to say. I think that there's a lot of people out there who understand the idea that my wife's hair was just pulled out. I was pretty angry. Mm-hmm. And I think they could appreciate the fact that if I didn't want to go bowling on a Wednesday night with a bunch of complete strangers, that's not an unusual thing. And the thing that upset me with the editing was the home audience didn't see Joe Gorga swinging his finger in my face and calling me names and calling me an asshole and a jerk off. They cut all that out, and then they just had Reno come over and it looked like I just started with Joe. And I can understand why it would look bad. So that I had an issue with, and quite frankly, I called production and I yelled at him and I said, you know, that's not what transpired. It's not appropriate. You know, I have no problem with what I said to Joe, but they had to play all of what I said to Joe. And I whispered in Joey's ear, I said, listen, I'm working with the United States attorney in Newark. I said, I don't want to get into it right now. You don't know me. I don't know you. This is the second time we're meeting. And just save it for another day. And I'm not even supposed to be here. I'm trying to leave. I'm trying to get my keys. Just please, be a human being. My wife just got attacked. Mm-hmm. And he took that as his opportunity to tell me I was a fucking asshole and stick his hand in my face, and then Reno comes over with a, oh, you're a jerk off, pull your hands out. And I actually thought one of them was going to take a swing at me at that point.
Right.
And so all I kept thinking about is, am I going to allow my four children to see me act like a complete animal on TV like the Joes did at a christening? No, I was never going to let that happen. So I got frustrated enough. I kept saying, you don't want to go there, Joe. It's the United States Attorney's Office, the same guys in Newark that are prosecuting your brother-in-law. She kept saying, what's an ass? What's an USA? And it was very difficult. So I finally said, do you know what an attorney general is? And he's like, yeah. And that's when I yelled in his face. And at that point, I actually thought it was kind of funny, but people didn't get my sense of humor that I was done, that he couldn't understand the concept that, you know, if the same people were prosecuting Joe and Teresa Giudice work with me on cases, it's probably not a good idea for us to be hanging out bowling.
Right.
I think it's pretty simple. I know people are angry at me for it, but it is what it is, and I don't really I don't blame editing for it. I just think that they only have so much time to work with, and they picked what they thought would bring the best ratings.
Mm-hmm. Right. One thing I want to get to the bottom of is that there's this kind of misconception that you're working on the case for Teresa and Joe. Now, I know this is not true, but like you just mentioned, you work with the prosecutors, but you're not necessarily assigned to that case. Is that correct? Do you want to further explain?
Absolutely. I do not work on Joe and Teresa's case. For anyone who understands the way the legal system works, we have a Department of Justice. The Department of Justice has a United States attorney for the District of New Jersey. They're located in Newark. That's Paul Fishman. Paul Fishman's the one who made the announcement that Joe and Teresa accepted the guilty plea. Mm-hmm. Paul Fishman also oversees the other two offices, which are Trenton and Camden. I work with the assistant United States, so the person who works directly for Paul, in those offices, on a case called State v. Ricks. State v. Ricks is a case that affected my company, started in 2008, very similar in that there was mortgage fraud, and it actually has been a very serious case. I think 12 people have pled guilty in it, over $20 million worth of fraud. There was even a witness that was shot in the process, so it's pretty scary stuff. And I'm working with the assistant United States attorney on that case, and that is also out of the Newark office. So literally, the same people who work on Joe and Teresa's case work on this case. There's only one Department of Justice. So, you know, I never said I worked on Joe and Teresa's case. I'm working with the same people. Also, I just worked on a huge case, which is the Bank of America case, that just settled for $17 billion. And if you go to the DOJ settlement, you'll see my company listed in that one also. So I work with these people on a fairly regular basis. It's not like an employee. It's not like I am best friends with them. If you call them up, there's thousands of people who work in this group. They're not going to know who I am. But if you go to a specific case and you give a specific docket number and you ask, then of course they'll find me. And if you go to State v. Ricks, you can see the indictment. It's right on my Twitter page. And if you go to the Bank of America settlement, the $17 billion one, that's also on my page. You'll see Mortgage Now is listed in both cases. That's my company. So I hope that clarifies. I know it's kind of boring and convoluted and easy to confuse, but does that make sense, guys?
It does. Yeah, no, I wanted to give you an opportunity to really kind of explain that you're not there trying to put Joe and Teresa in jail, because that's how maybe a viewer would look at it so black and white, and it's just not the case.
No, and I don't even know them, and I have nothing against them, and it's nothing personal. It really isn't. But I mean, imagine for a moment I'm bowling, and Joe Gorgas says to Joe Giudice, "Hey, so you have that money buried in the backyard?" Joking around, just being funny and flippant, thinking he's being funny for TV. Well, now think of the bind I'm in, and think of the position Joe's in. One, if I'm in Newark, which I will be on September 8th when the trial starts with these individuals, I know it was said on camera, so I can't deny it was said. And if I don't bring it to their attention, think about that, what that does to my credibility.
Right.
Next thing you know, there's dump trucks in the back of Joe's backyard ripping his cars up and looking for money. It's just, it's not something that I thought Joe Gorgas could get his arms around, and so I just thought it was best to just stay away from the fray till they were done. And they'll be done September, I think 23rd is when they're sentenced, so
it
really wasn't my problem, I just tried to be nice.
Yeah, well, I think Grant and I both agreed kind of with you, and you're distancing yourself from not wanting to be around someone that legally it wasn't a great idea for you, and it was probably also a bad idea for what you do for a living. So we kind of agreed with you on that,
right.
I think. Mm-hmm. But I know that everybody took to Twitter that night of the first responders party. That was the first night that everybody kind of was starting to see you in not the best light on the show. So was that your first foray into some of these Twitter feuds that have been going on?
Absolutely, and the reason I never was a big fan of social media, and I'm still not, quite frankly, because I don't think someone should anonymously be able to insult you. If they want to say it and give their name, I'm okay with that. But if they want to sit behind a fake name and address and say nasty things, I'm not a big fan of that. And I joined only because my wife was catching so much heat. They were being so cruel and abusive. Mm-hmm. Amber had nothing to do with what I said. I'm my own person, and yet people were being disgusting to her. So I purposely went on, and I went at people pretty hard, And, you know, if they have a problem with me, come to my site. I had no problem explaining my position. If they insult me, I'm going to insult them back and block them because I honestly don't care. If you're not going to be an adult enough to have a conversation, then I'm going to treat you as you treat me. So, you know, beware if you come, if you will. Right.
How do you view this entire experience? Because there's positives and negatives to it. It seems like you've been catching a lot. People have gone after your wife, unfortunately, on social media. How do you view the whole experience together now that it's kind of, you know, it's out there now?
The social media aspect or the show aspect?
The whole experience in general, just from going from just being a regular citizen to now having this whole public persona with these feuds back and forth, but also all the perks and anything positive that comes out of being on a television show.
So if I understand your question correctly, because you came in and out a little bit, the whole experience has been really bizarre for me because I never wanted to be an actor. I never wanted to be famous. I don't really care much for the limelight. I enjoy private time with my family, and so it's been kind of weird. But I would never take the experience away from Amber and the kids. For my kids, it's been wonderful. They get to see how a television show is actually made. My oldest actually got to write a script, and he got to direct a commercial. And the only reason he got to direct a commercial at 13 years old is because that was what they wanted, and I thought that was wonderful. You know, if nothing else, how many 13-year-olds write a 200-page script and film a commercial? And my younger ones had a lot of fun and, you know, got to experience a lot of really great things. So for my family, it's really, I have to be honest, it's been great. It's not been a windfall of money, I can assure you. It's like any business. You lose money the first year, so it's not been something financially prudent. So if anyone wants to be on reality TV, it's not there to make you money, I can tell you that. But for the kids, it's been great. For Amber, it's a dream of hers, and I think that is the most wonderful thing that I could do. And for me, it's been pretty much a nightmare. I never wanted to be part of it. I was only supposed to film with her and with Bobby a couple scenes, and I got sucked in. And you know, I always say in my life, you can't be half pregnant. So once I got sucked in and they painted me as a villain, yeah, so be it. I can be a villain. I'm okay with that.
Right.
Well, speaking of Bobby, it kind of seems like from Twitter we've seen a few mentions of him and that you're still not friends. So in the present day, is that still the case?
That is still the case, yeah. I mean, it's actually a very sad situation because Bobby and I were friends for 12 years. And what most people don't know is Bobby's really not a fireman. He's not a blue-collar guy. Bobby's worth $500 million. His family owns the largest auto group in the state of New Jersey. He's a volunteer fireman. He joined the department a month or two before we started filming because he wanted to have an on-camera persona. So it's kind of funny to watch everyone be like, oh, he's such a sweetheart, and you know he's a good guy in a lot of respects. Mm-hmm. But he wanted to be famous, and he was willing to sacrifice myself and my wife to do it. And so there are hard feelings, and I won't forgive him for what he did. I mean, he knew Amber. I mean, and I don't know if you're aware of this, and everyone jokes with my wife and says, oh, it's the cancer card. But my wife had 7 surgeries, complete reconstruction of her back and her chest. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking double mastectomy, you're talking transflap, you're talking literally 7 different surgeries, and he was around when this stuff was going on, and he knew full well that physical confrontation such as one that occurred in his home, you know, for you and I, you know, you can get a bruise. For her, she could have ripped some of the reconstruction, and that's a serious situation because they removed all of the tissue from her pectoral, so it's taken a lot of time to rehab to get her back to where she's strong and healthy. And the idea that he would put her in that situation, and quite frankly, me in that situation, knowing I was working on State v. Ricks, knowing I was working on the Bank of America case, it, you know, why? So we could have 5 minutes of fame? It doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand priorities like that. I mean, he's wealthy. He's so wealthy, it's not funny. All he wanted to be was famous. I mean, he could have bought Bravo, for Christ's sake, if he wanted to, and filmed himself. He didn't have to sacrifice my wife and I. So I know people took issue with how I addressed him, but, you know, I would never put his family and livelihood at risk, and he had no problem doing it to me. For what? 5 minutes of fame so right. I can look cool. So it just wasn't. It doesn't fly with me.
Right. So that I have to ask, that mural in his dining room, is that for real?
That what?
That mural in his dining room, is that for real? If he's just a volunteer firefighter, newly, you know, it's not his lifestyle. What is that mural all about? I just want to light your note.
Oh, come on. Bobby is all about the show. I mean, he painted a mural so when you came in, you could see the firefighter thing. He played it up like he's this, oh, I've been a firefighter and this is why I did it. He did it because he's bored. I mean, it's not, I don't know about you, Grant, but I go to work every morning. Mm-hmm. And if I had $500 million and I was bored, I'll paint a mural in my dining room so I have something cool to show the audience when they come in my house for my first responders party.
Wow.
So it's all about the show. I think it's funny because what they didn't show is the Ferrari in his garage and all the other mm-hmm. things which he protected to try to play that blue-collar status up. But
right.
I mean, that mural's real. He had it painted, I mean, because that's how he is.
Mm-hmm. So this show really changed him. Sorry, this show really is it changed him, or was he kind of always one of these types of people?
The show definitely brought out the worst in him.
Uh huh. Well, do it.
You know,
yeah.
Bobby and I were. I mean, you have to understand. When guys are friends, we go to the bar, we hang out, we joke around, we go to games, and you know, we talk and we enjoy each other's company. What I saw was someone who was willing to sacrifice everybody and anything to be famous. And let me give you an example. The relationship with Nicole. He met Nicole at our casting call. He didn't know her beforehand. Mm-hmm. That's a complete lie.
So they haven't been together for a year.
We had... I'm sorry?
I just want to clarify. They haven't been together for about a year, like they've been mentioning on the show. That's incorrect.
They met literally at the casting call. And I have... What's funny is he actually sought them out because... We moved them from around town, and we said we needed additional people to bring on the show. So Amber was contacted because of a relationship with Melissa, and it mm-hmm. ended up being she was actually contacted by a casting company. And then once they found out about a relationship with Melissa, they were pushing her forward, and they said they needed additional women in the area. So we had interviewed several different women from the area, and they didn't like any of those women. So they wanted someone who was over the top. And friends of ours from town said, well, there's these twins. They're really outspoken. They're crazy. So one day I was sitting with Bobby, and he said, I can find them. They're always at the Dunkin' Donuts where I hang out. So he literally went to the Dunkin' Donuts. And hey, it's hysterical. I know. But he went to the Dunkin' Donuts, picked them up, brought them back to his house.
Okay.
And we signed. They signed contracts with us stating, you know, the standard stuff. And we ended up submitting them. And he ended up dating Nicole because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's an interesting exclusive right here.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. My mind is blown right now.
Well, it makes sense now that you yes. kind of watch it back and connect the dots in your mind over here. So, interesting.
So, did you get Bobby on the show? Was it you and Amber kind of asked him to be part of the show, and then the twins went from there?
Absolutely. Actually, I had Bobby sign a contract saying that we were going to submit him. I submitted Bobby's bio to the production company. I submitted the twins' bios to the production company. Because they would write them, and they were not as well-written as I would like, and they weren't as flashy and fun. So I would put a spin on them, and I submitted them. So they all literally came through Amber and I. And Bobby wanted a very big role. And because we were going to bring him on just as our friend, and he's like, I don't want to be a friend. I want more of a role. And here's a little exclusive for you. He had carnal relations with several of the young ladies who we submitted for the show. So Nicole was like third in line, I think, at that point. Mm-hmm. And it was an ongoing joke because I'm like, Bobby, you can't sleep with every girl we submit. And so that was, it was kind of an ironic thing because he wanted to be on the show so bad, whoever looked like they were going to be next, that's who we started dating. And then Nicole got picked up, so...
Okay.
Love at first sight, I guess, at that
okay,
point.
Well,
right,
that makes
yeah,
sense.
Right, yeah.
Ooh, Dunkin' Donuts.
So East Coast, I love that little tie-in.
Oh, my goodness.
The Dunkin' Donuts in the post office are never going to be the same. Just, you can't even go there in Colts Neck anymore.
So how is it being around Colts Neck now that you're kind of a household name? Is it weird to just go to the grocery store with the family?
Believe it or not, Colts Neck's a real small town, so everyone knows us. It doesn't change. like I still, my kids get up, I have to take them to school, we still go, I still coach my son's baseball team. Nothing's changed. It's, you have to remember, Colts Neck has like Queen Latifah, they have Bon Jovi, they have Bruce Springsteen. So in the world of celebrities, I'm basically, and I'm sure my fans on Twitter will love this, I'm the scum beneath a rock at this point. So it's not like anyone's begging to get my autograph or hang out with me. What's funny is when I go to other places, like my wife and I were up in North Jersey the other day, because my family lives up there, and people would stop us in the street and ask for our pictures. And I took my kids to medieval times with my wife, and a group of teenage women came over and had to hug my son. It was Michael, the 14-year-old. It was so cute, because they were like going nuts like he was Elvis Presley or something. It was really, that was neat. That was definitely a lot of fun.
Oh, that's good. See, some positive feedback.
Yeah. So we have to ask.
I've got to take the good out of it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one of the positives, I guess, the upsides that there's been there. So we have to ask your opinion on the whole scandal from last week that Victoria Gotti told us all about Reno sleeping with Santa. Do we think this is true?
Okay, well, first off, I read an article, someone saying, I told Victoria Gotti this.
Okay.
I can tell you unequivocally, I don't know Victoria Gotti, never met her, never talked to her.
Okay.
I was as shocked as everyone else was. I found out, though, that night when my wife came home from Victoria's house. And at first, we really thought they were playing with us. Honestly, I was like, you know, this is just too over the top. After doing a little digging, I'm sad to say it does appear like it is true.
Wow.
And the viewers will see later on in the season, and there's a little confrontation coming with myself and the twins, and their reaction told me all I needed to know.
Okay.
So a little teaser for down the road. But also, there are a lot of people from Brooklyn in our area, and apparently Reno tells everybody everything about, you know, the Russian tripper pushing his kids on the swing to the relationship with Santa. So he was blunt about it, so I if you were to ask me, you know, I'd say I'm 90% believe it's true based upon everything I've heard and based upon what Reno's told me and based upon what Bobby's told me, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Wow. So are you on speaking terms? Are you on speaking terms with any of these people?
I'm sorry?
Are you on speaking terms with Reno or Bobby at this point?
No, I haven't spoken to Reno or Bobby since the bogus first responders party, which didn't have any first responders there.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That party was just not good. I'm sorry. I thought it was lame. I didn't like it.
More like a Halloween party, it looked like.
Yeah. Well,
It was a pure setup, guys. It was an unadulterated setup that my wife assaulted and to have me picked on. If you watch closely, Dina's laughing in the background as my wife is having her hair pulled out. If you watch closely, Joe Gorga gives Bobby the signal and says, let's go upstairs and tour the house, but yet they're in the kitchen, so they never really toured the house. Bobby, when we come up the stairs, says, and I quote, it happened already, quote unquote. And I played that back about five times.
Mm-hmm.
And the look on his face already suggesting he knew it was happening. So it was clearly a setup. We weren't there 5 minutes. We didn't even have one drink. And it came down. It was so clear that's what they were gunning for. And it's a shame because I think it actually hurt the show because they never actually got to see any of us be friends.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. There was no real buildup. They just wanted to cut to the chase real quick. One question I want to ask, and I see this happen across all of these franchises, where at these parties, the different housewives and their spouses or boyfriends will come at different times. Is that because, and I assume this is the case, that production tells you to come at a specific time and not all at once?
Yeah, that's absolutely. And what will happen is they'll actually hold you outside until such time as they're ready.
Wow.
And it's understandable. I mean, you can't have 20 people load in at the same time. You wouldn't be able to hear anything. You have microphones. You wouldn't be able to see anything. So
right.
It really, I mean, I understand why they do it. I also think they do it to make sure the cast is good and liquored up. So the people who are about to get abused are walking into a mousetrap, if you will.
Exactly. Yeah. They give you an opportunity. They give everyone else an opportunity to talk about you, so then you can walk in the room and they can all stare at you. Yep. I got it.
You got it.
Yeah. My last question, and then I'm going to open it up for one other. But my last question just kind of involves Joe and Teresa and your opinion on it. What can you say? Do you want to release any type of a thought or statement on them and what their upcoming verdict? Or their upcoming sentence. Thank you.
Yeah.
You mean their guilty plea?
Yeah.
You know, they have four kids. I can see both sides of it because I have a bank that has been hit with $4 million worth of fraud, close to $5 million. So I see the bank side, and that it does hurt. We do lose employees. People lose their jobs. People lose income because of mortgage fraud, and it is very serious, and taxpayers don't realize that you're ultimately bailing it out. FDIC has to come in and pay back the money that people steal, so I see that side. I also see the side that this is a family with four kids, obviously a loving mother and father, so I can relate in both, so mm-hmm. You know, kind of with that backdrop, I really don't have an opinion either way
uh-huh.
as far as what should happen. You know, but, you know, I just hope what occurs is just and fair. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you kind of hope for. And yeah. I think that's a good answer. I think it is.
Well said. Mm-hmm. Well, Jim, we just wanted to open it up to you to, if you wanted to clear the air about anything else that has happened on the show or anything going on as far as Twitter feuds or just mm-hmm. anything that you wanted to clear the air about, go ahead.
Okay, first I'd like everyone to know that I do not clean aquatic animal vaginas, so please keep those tweets to a minimum. Really, that's just not something I do.
Okay.
However, if you're willing to pay enough, I'd consider it, but just I'd appreciate it if you keep those down. Secondly, I really wish everyone would understand that for me, this is a show. It is reality TV, but it is not my reality. My reality is my wife and my children, and being a father is the thing that matters to me most, and being a husband. So if you see me being flippant or you see me being a little rough on it or even what people may consider to be a prick, it's a role. You know, once your wife gets her hair pulled out and once you're called a jerk off by a bunch of strangers, I'm an adult. I would never put myself back in that situation.
Yep.
It would never happen again. And quite frankly, I would have left much earlier, and people gave me crap about not leaving early enough. Why did Bobby have our keys? Flash Bolton. Production took our keys, gave them to Bobby, and Bobby had to give them back to us. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's how this goes. They can't have cast members drinking and driving. And I think everyone can figure out with Joe Giudice what happened with drinking and driving. So that's why we didn't have our keys. We have to be clear that we're not intoxicated, which is responsible and it's the way it should be. So it wasn't like we went back looking for trouble. Let's see, what else can I tell you?
Uh-huh.
If you contact on Twitter, just please be nice. I'm open to questions, but understand again, this is not my job. My job is dad, my job is taking care of the bank, and my job is to take care of my beautiful, loving wife.
Right. Well, I think that ties it up. So, thank you. If there's nothing else that you want to clear up, I think you've covered almost everything.
I appreciate that. And, hey, Megan, could you do me a favor and shoot me a tweet so I wasn't trolling Bobby's when I caught you?
Oh, okay.
someone had forwarded it, so I have no idea where you are on Twitter. But I'd like to say hello officially. And I swear I know the difference between Ben and Van. I just really don't pay that much attention on Twitter, so don't hold that against me.
Okay. Well, yeah. Just teasing you on
He's
Twitter.
He's got a lot going on. I don't even look. I don't even notice these things.
All right, Jim. Well, we can be Twitter friends now that we've spoken for this long. I feel like we know each other.
Same here. And listen, if you come out to New Jersey, I promise we'll take you out. We won't take you to any first responders parties.
Oh, no.
Oh, great.
And I promise we'll come out. I'll bring Amber out, and we'll visit if you... promise not to liquor the cast up and keep our keys. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
Okay.
Hey, Jim, how close are you to Manalapan, New Jersey?
About 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. Well, my great friend is from there, so when I go to visit her, I'll stop by.
There you go. Jim.
Absolutely. Listen, we'll make some great... we'll make gravy and meatballs, and we'll show you how we really kind of enjoy our time with our family.
Perfect. Great. Perfect. Jim, where can we find you on Twitter, and is there anything you would like to promote before we go?
Sure. I'm on Twitter. It's JLMarchese111, and that's how you can find me on Twitter. And my wife and I just we just launched a line. It's at historicalnames.com, and it's like a family crest, and you can get etched glassware. You can get sweatshirts, caps, things like that. It's really neat. It's something to celebrate your family and your family's heritage. So there's actually something called the Marchese Collection, which is all of the stuff that we have. So it's something new for Amber and I, and it's just really to celebrate family and to celebrate life, because that's, you know, at the end, what we really wanted to be on the show to do was, you know, show that you still can have a regular family and hopefully raise some awareness for the 31-year-olds out there who thinks that the lump in their chest is really nothing. They need to get checked. So please make sure to tell all your viewers. I know everyone is aware that breast cancer is a serious issue, but I could tell you, I didn't know it was a serious issue at 28 and 30-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And please just make sure that gets out there.
Okay, we will. Thank you so much for your time, Jim. We appreciate you answering all of our questions. You put everything on the table. And hopefully we can get Amber on here in the next few weeks. That would be great.
All right. And feel free to reach out, and hopefully we'll chat again. And you guys have a great Labor Day, and God bless.
Let's do it. You as well. Have a good night.
Thanks, Jim.
All right. Well,
oh my gosh.
What are your
initial
thoughts?
Was that the coolest thing ever?
Well, you get a lot of information. I know I did.
Oh my God. I feel like I'm going to have to watch this back and like relive everything. Yeah. That was a lot.
Yeah. I'm really thankful to have him come on as a guest, because he really honestly said, like, really just, you know, you can ask me so much. Like, and they're really, it was a very simple interview to put together, because I didn't have to worry about like kind of maneuvering around things. And I think he gave a lot of very smart answers. Mm-hmm. And I feel really good about it. So I'm happy that worked out. Let's switch gears real quick before we go. There's a little bit of a live read we have to do here.
Yeah. Okay, guys. I don't know if you all know about Birchbox. Mm-hmm. I have gotten some Birchbox. It's so fun. So what it is you're going to be able to find beauty and skincare and hair care stuff for you. It gets mailed to you. It's personalized for you. Wow. It's only $10 a month. You get a few products in the mail, and you can try them out. And that way first of all, you're always going to have all fun new products in your beauty bag, which I love. Mm-hmm. I have gotten some awesome stuff, some bronzer, some mascara, all kinds of fun stuff that I didn't know was out there, because there's small companies you might not know about.
Right,
there's big brands that maybe you thought you couldn't afford, but you're getting it in the mail for such a great price. Birchbox is awesome.
Yeah, and it's $10 a month. There's an online magazine that also comes with it. Mm-hmm. And you can use the promo code AFTERBUZZ for 100 Birchbox points. Ooh. I believe that's equivalent to $10 I have here. So, very interesting. So we learned a little bit of everything today.
Oh my gosh. My mind is blown. I'm like shaking. Yeah. That was awesome.
That was great. It's always good to get some real like inside information as to how these shows are produced. It doesn't matter if you're necessarily a fan of Amber or Jim or the Real Housewives of New Jersey, but just on the perspective side of how these shows come together and just how controlled it is and how these things are set up. And the interesting thing is I watch very closely, and you can tell Jim watches very closely with how they said like it already happened and Dina was laughing in the background. Like, that's the stuff that I look for. But honestly, that stuff went over my head. I didn't notice that.
Me too. I do see how he said it happened right away. They hadn't even been there 5 minutes. Yeah. So I think that was, that's the only thing that stuck out to me from the first responders party fight. But to hear every little step of the way that was Jim is saying was set up is, you know, blowing the doors off of reality TV. Hearing it straight from the horse's mouth was awesome.
And the reveal of Bobby and how he really is a gigolo, it seems. I mean, I'm calling him that.
But my goodness.
That's me.
Okay. We don't know if he really does have the feelings for Nicole you know, apparently she was the one of many that he was trying on for size.
The thing that shocks me the most is that they really haven't been together for a year. And you know, we've seen her have conversations with her mother about this, and is he really a bachelor and all that from the previous week. So it really does kind of show that some people will do anything for a little bit of camera time.
I mean, the mural. Let's just go back to the mural. That he had that painted specifically for the party. You know what is funny is that a lot of the arguments were going down in front of that. Right. You know, it was kind of like a backdrop during some of the arguments of the party. So,
well, he, you know, I mean, Bobby, he has supposedly now we've learned that he has many, many dollars in the bank, and he can't buy fame, I guess. So,
isn't that funny that you still can't buy fame these days?
Yeah, I know. Some people could argue that, like the Kardashians, but
that just came to my mind.
All right, where can we find you online?
I am at. Excuse me. I'm flustered. That was so crazy. On Twitter and Instagram at Megan Stecher. It's MEGANSTECHER.
And I'm on Twitter at Grants_Rants and on Instagram at Grant Michael R. So we thank you for checking us out and listening to the interview. If you missed it, you might want to check it out again. Retweet us, comment us, let us know. We'll be back when the show returns to Bravo next week with more of The Real Housewives of New Jersey.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.